Welcome back.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Healthy Aging Show. And that was Martin West. And what a guy.
Fabulous.
You know, that was really interesting. We'll let you all know as soon as we know when that is going to be aired, because it's really worth watching. We pulled out an article recently. Actually, TC, who just left, found an article called Medical Myths That Can Kill You. And this was an interview with Nancy Snyderman, who's a NBC medical news correspondent. And we always get these lists, and I was going to pass on it until I started to read it. And I said, wait a minute, these kind of make sense. And myth number one, doctors don't play favorites. Now, I never heard the myth, but the logic is you got to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors will give more attention to someone who is actively engaged in their own care.
Right. And you have also developed the Communicating with Your Doctor brochure, which makes good sense.
And that's available to anyone that wants it. Just contact us. But the whole idea is that you can't be a passive player in your health. And this is demonstrated in a doctor's involvement with you and how they interact.
I think sometimes, too, Dennis, when you take your car into the dealership or you take your dog into the vet, you spend more time making sure that you're getting the proper diagnosis and treatment than you would yourself.
Well, you know, what she said is that there are inherent biases in healthcare, whether it's racism, sexism, or ageism. Such discrimination means some groups of patients get short shrift when they most need the help. She gave the example of obese women, often receive inadequate doses of chemotherapy because doctors discount them for being overweight. And the same holds true for poor people,
mm-hmm.
poor women. And the long-term solution, women should see as many different physicians as possible until they find one who takes their complaints seriously and shows dedication to healing them. In the short term, women need to speak up and insist on attention and care from doctors and nurses. When it comes to navigating the healthcare system, good manners are not conducive to good health.
This is the most important relationship you actually ever have.
It is. And you may not have another relationship if you don't get this one.
Right. And besides, I mean, you should have a relationship that you enjoy, like, and respect.
And so often people have an issue with their doctor, and yet they still stay with that doctor, whether they should address the issue with the doctor or move on.
And the doctor will tell you, the doctor that you should be going will actually endorse a second opinion if you have any question on a diagnosis.
Right. Okay, now, myth number two, you can skip your annual physical.
Absolutely, positively. Mm-mm.
Well, you know, for so long, many people, and we're not talking about that long ago, people were starting to discount the effectiveness of an annual physical. And that started to resonate from annual to every other year, every third year. Now you've got people that don't go unless they're dying, and a lot of the issues that they're dealing with could have been resolved earlier on. And she gives the example of an uncle who was diagnosed with his grandfather died of colon cancer, and her father insisted on a sigmoidoscopy. Then when the colonoscopy came out, he insisted on that, and it revealed a cancerous mass that the sigmoidoscopy did not show. And he probably would have died had he not insisted that that test be done.
Well, part of it too, Dennis, is that you're now looking as the owner of the body, because you're actually taking a moment a year later and thinking about what may be different. And certainly as you go through the aging process, a year can be a significant amount of time.
The thing too is annual physicals, are they not, John, part of personal responsibility?
Oh, I have a microphone now.
I'm giving you a microphone. And wow. I'm giving you a stage.
You're no, in.
You'd be sorry doing that.
You know, we're talking about personal responsibility, and our pet theme for how long was you have an annual physical. Now, we just, as a company, renewed our group medical insurance. Physicals are part of the plan. That is covered. There's no deductible. There's no copay. Mm-hmm. Under the plan. If you don't go get a physical, is there a reason why? It's certainly not financial.
You're afraid of doctors.
Well, whatever it is, if you have a lifestyle that's not conducive to good health,
right,
and you fail to go and get an annual checkup, you fail to follow prescribed recommendations,
you didn't lose the weight that you thought you were supposed
and
to lose
of things,
of the year.
This week, the Republicans are starting a new attack on the health reform bill that was passed.
Right.
and they don't think that it goes far enough and that it's an effective bill. Elements of what we're talking about are included in it, but...
Well, it's certainly not an effective bill at all, but they don't really care about as much about the effectiveness as they do about the politics.
There's a lot more politics involved.
Yeah.
So adults don't need shots. Myth number three.
And once again.
Now, 70,000 people, according to this article, died because vaccinations that were available were not got. How many people know about a pneumonia vaccine?
I actually hadn't realized that there was a vaccine.
There is a vaccine for pneumonia. It's given every 5 years or twice in your lifetime, I believe, where the flu is given once a year. But how many people die not of the flu, but of complications brought about by pneumonia, which the flu could be the portal that pneumonia developed. Only old people get heart disease and stroke.
No.
Where do you think it starts?
At age 20.
At age one.
Yeah.
You know, buildups in your arteries don't happen at the age of 70.
No.
They happen
over
a lifetime of doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
not maintaining a healthy enough lifestyle.
And there are markers
that
will show as you get older that you're prone to that type of situation.
But you need to have that baseline. And this is one thing the article points out, that you should begin your checkups at 20. So you've got a progression that can be validated and monitored.
Okay.
Well, it's different for women, though, as usual.
Well, it's always more complicated.
They're more high maintenance. That's why.
Much higher.
A little outnumbered here in the room today, I can tell.
Well, facts speak for themselves. Numbers don't lie. Liars use numbers.
Yeah, there you go. There's a volley to serve, Dennis, for a later time.
Natural means safe. Myth number five.
No. Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait.
We gotta go
symptoms.
Back. Okay.
The heart disease and stroke, because women do have different symptoms.
Oh, they do.
Yes.
And that's one of the problems where, for the longest time, women were being judged by the symptoms that a man would demonstrate. And women would potentially, I guess women would succumb to the heart attack because there wasn't enough time.
Right. And something that's different about women, they're often, the symptoms may be jaw pain, a feeling of breathing icy air, or an overwhelming fatigue. And I have to admit, I had a little humor on the icy air, because all I could think of was someone having a hot flash and thinking they're actually getting icy air, and what a relief it might be. But it's very...
Yeah, I can relate
well,
to
you,
that.
Well, you know, you guys cannot relate to a hot flash, but one of these days I'll fill you in.
I'm going through my second change of life.
No, I have to tell you, there was one time I was in New York City in the middle of winter with the heaviest winter coat I owned, because it was that cold. And I said, oh my gosh, if I could just slip this coat off and just lean against that freezing cold building, I would just be so perfect. But anyway, humor aside, don't call the ambulance. That's the most important first thing you can do.
Do not drive yourself to the hospital.
Mm-mm.
An ambulance with a screaming siren gets a whole lot more attention and a lot less tickets and a lot less potential for an accident. And there's care for you on the way to the hospital. So the last thing you want to do is have someone drive you.
Why did you bring up the ticket thing?
Why do you feel so defensive?
I've gotten by 3 different speed checks in the last few weeks.
She's on a first-name basis with the police
officer. Officer Smith.
I'm being good.
Okay. Natural means safe.
Yes.
Does it?
Well, this was interesting. Each one has been. But tobacco and arsenic are natural substances.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Well, Josephine thought so with Napoleon. But actually, he did not die of arsenic poisoning. I researched this.
Everything you put in your mouth can affect something else that you're taking. And that is something that is very important, that when you are talking to your doctor, don't discount the natural homeopathic things that you're taking, because they all have an interaction.
And
the doctor needs to know it.
And here's a step up on that. Also, if you're having any surgery, you need to make sure that your anesthesiologist and all those who are taking care of you know about those substances as well.
Okay.
We found an article, or better yet, TC found an article on LifeScript, and it caused us to do some more research. The article was entitled, "No Link Found Between Vaccine, Mercury, and Autism." And what this had to do with was the article revolves around concerns about a link between vaccines and autism, which was first raised more than a decade ago by British physician Andrew Wakefield. in his report, which was based upon 12 children, which has since been discredited and was retracted earlier this year by the journal that it was published in, there is in vaccine, or was in vaccine, because it's no longer and it's been removed, thimerosal, which is a mercury-based preservative. And the article by Dr. Wakefield credited autism as being in part caused by that additive in the vaccine. And what it did was it sparked a fierce worldwide debate among scientists and a health scare that caused many parents to shy away from recommended vaccines like the one against measles, mumps, and rubella. The result was outbreaks in all three. What they did find in subsequent tests was that among 256 children with an autism spectrum disorder and compared them with 752 children who did not have the condition, no matter when a child had been exposed to thimerosal, before birth when the mother had a shot, or when the child itself was vaccinated as a baby or toddler, there was no increase in the risk of any type of autism.
And actually, Dennis, in fact, those kids who were exposed to the preservative between birth and 20 months of age had slightly lower odds of developing the condition.
And in fact, thimerosal is no longer contained in vaccines, so it's not even an issue. But for parents who remain concerned about thimerosal in the flu shot, the author of this article said that there are alternatives without preservative, such as flu mist and nasal spray, which can be used in children age 2 and older. Some parents are also worried about giving too many shots at once, or in children who are too young, which could cause mental problems.
Well, I think the children would be very happy to have not quite
probably
so many
not
shots at once. But
those studies have dispelled any concerns over mental problems. What this gave rise to was, let's look at other issues about vaccines, because we had recently done a show on public health, and among the credits to public health were what?
Well, credits were the vaccines that have been created in the continuum of longevity of people because of that concentration.
Exactly.
But what I didn't realize, Dennis, is that even we older folks need to have continuing vaccines.
But it also continues to be a controversy. The vaccine benefits are tremendous. There was an article that was dated March 29th, 2008. It's called A Multitude of Vaccine Benefits, Yet Controversy Persists. It was written by Donald McNeil in the New York Times. He discusses the fact that so many of the diseases that plagued us, measles, diphtheria, whooping cough, tetanus, polio, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, flu, hepatitis, meningitis, pneumonia, and diarrhea have been tremendously reduced or eradicated through the use of vaccination, which is one of the greatest results of the public health system.
Yes, as we've discovered.
And this article goes on to say, and I'm not sure that I totally agree with this, because that wasn't the reason that I thought that people had kids. In addition, vaccination is one of the leading reasons that many families in the West now feel comfortable. Having only two or three children, they can reasonably be certain that the children will survive childhood. I always thought it was for working the fields and making sure that you had a comfortable retirement.
Well, in some of the third world countries, you genuinely would do that. You would have a high number of children to have survivability for the family.
Well, understandably, but it's just something that I really hadn't focused on. But the article goes on to say that death rates for 13 diseases that can be prevented by childhood vaccinations were at all-time lows in the United States, according to a CDC study in 2007. And of those, 9, the rates of death and hospitalization declined by 90%. And for 3, the rates dropped by 100%.
Since 1990, vaccines have become somewhat controversial, even in the United States.
As these diseases have disappeared, generations have grown up without ever seeing sickness and death that they cause, but at the same time, new parents are often upset that their babies receive 20 and 30 injections before the age of 2.
Ouch.
In addition, just as we talked about the thimerosal, and even though it has been debunked, there's an active anti-vaccine lobby that keeps the issue alive. All states require children gathering in a school setting before enrollment have to prove that they have been properly immunized. There are some exceptions, though.
Now, parents are adamantly against being immunized. I wonder what recourse they have.
Well, they have a religious objection,
mm-hmm,
and they have the immunocompromised or allergic to vaccine components. It doesn't say anything about their conscientious objection.
Hmm.
Health insurers pay for most vaccines, and public clinics offer them free to the uninsured. In fact, and much of this is under the Vaccines for Children's program of 1994. Before that time, incomplete vaccination was most common among the poor. Now it's more common among the wealthy and middle class, presumably because their parents object.
It's, well, to me, it sounds as if we are living longer and good reason to have vaccines.
Well, but vaccines, as much as that article related to children, an article dated September 24th of 2010 by Leslie Alderman, also in the New York Times, cost and lack of awareness hamper adult vaccination efforts. And just as we said in this previous article that whooping cough was one of those diseases eradicated, not quite. There are 11,500 cases of whooping cough as of September 24th, or better known as pertussis, or lesser known as pertussis, that have been reported nationwide. And in California, 9 infants have died from it.
And it takes a long time to get rid of it once you have it.
You ever had it?
No, but it's about 6 weeks.
I had
it.
I was one of 2 children in the state of Connecticut, and it turned out that the other person was a friend of mine, so we must have given it to one another.
Well, that's very nice of you to share, Dennis. Do you remember how miserable you felt?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a terrible coughing fit to the point of it was hurting, and it just wouldn't go away.
So this could be very serious, actually, for somebody compromised or elderly. They do recommend that adults get the booster shot.
Because they can pass it on. There is the concern.
Some of those children
that died had not received all their shots, but some of those deaths might have been prevented if more adults had been immunized, because they can pass the illness to vulnerable children.
Right.
And I presume not receiving or not being subject to the disease itself, but they can be a carrier.
We are usually anticipating entering an area of young people that we might become exposed, as
but
opposed to the reverse.
Yes,
here's one
way.
Time where we carry the new germs, potentially. One of the concerns that they're finding with adults is, first of all, not realizing that we need some of these vaccines, but also the shots can be expensive. And they're looking at from $20 to $200 a dose.
But under the new Health Reform Act, there is a provision that calls for these vaccinations to be free under your medical plans or to be offered by public health.
Mm-hmm.
But most adults don't consider getting a vaccination until they've stepped on a rusty nail or they're traveling outside the country.
And I'm thinking that traveling outside the country is something to definitely revisit. And one of the things you're saying here is that this is also a way to prevent illness in the future and preserve health.
Well, it's a tremendous way of saving money. If you go in and you have complications from the flu, mm-hmm. and you're hospitalized, the costs are thousands of dollars on a societal basis, as opposed to $7, $10. One of the other reasons is, besides the cost, is lack of awareness.
Yes.
Doctors often fail to remind patients that they require booster shots, and consumers are not well informed about the need.
Now, the flu shot is a mere $20 and is often offered for free. And then there's also a comment about the pneumonia vaccine,
which we've talked about before and many people don't know about.
Right. And that is something that you need to specifically have a conversation with your doctor, because there are some different theories or roadmaps that your doctor may have.
We'll be right back.